Welcome back to part two of our series on the Shidduch crisis. In part one, we explored the reality of the crisis and its root causes. Now in part two, we will focus on practical ideas to help address this challenge. So what can we as parents do to guide our children through this process with wisdom and clarity and confidence? So I'd like to share with you 10 tips loosely based on a shiur I heard from my Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zalman Gibbs-Shliter. With his trademark clarity and experience, Rav Gibbs presents what he calls the Aseres HaDibros of Shidduchim. 10 powerful down-to-earth rules to guide us through this delicate process. These aren't lofty philosophical ideas. They are practical principles that every parent can implement, and they can make a real difference in helping our children find their right match. In his imitable style, he compares shopping for a spouse to shopping for an esrei. In a certain sense, a shidduch is an acquisition. Masechtas Kedushin begins, Ha'isha niknas b'shloisha derachim. A woman is acquired in three ways. Of course, marriage is not a business deal. But conceptually, there are some similarities we can learn from. By putting these ideas into practice, we can stop the madness, lower unrealistic expectations, and increase the chances that our children walk down the aisle with the right person at the right time. So let's jump right in. Rule number one, you can't have everything. Sorry to disappoint you right off the bat, but perfection does not exist. As they say, perfection lives in theory, not in reality. And yes, this applies to a spouse as well. Imagine walking into an esrik store and you say, I want a spotless esrik, perfect pitum, gorgeous giddel, vibrant color, heavenly aroma, mahudr with 6 achsherim for $18. The seller would immediately show you the door. Shidduchim work the same way. No potential spouse comes with every quality. You must decide, what are your priorities? A great learner, midos, yirashamayim, financial stability, looks, yichus, personality. So you have to decide, what are you willing to overlook? If you're holding out for someone who's a genius, accepted to 5 seminaries, wealthy, stunning, and also a gourmet chef, you're not dating. You're living in a fantasy world. There's an old Yiddish proverb, Alles ba'einem is nishdu ba'kainem. There's no one person who has every quality. So choose the qualities that truly matter to you and let go of the rest. Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect, they simply don't exist. Rule number two, there's a time limit. There's a common saying, Asroigam nuchsikas. This is like an esrik after sukkas, which means it has little to no value. Parents must realize there are prime years for children to get engaged, especially for girls, and that is between the age of 18 and 21. And even for boys, there are prime years. In the Chassidish circles, between 19 and 21, and in the Litvish Yeshivish world, let's say 21 or 22 to 24. So if you're starting to listen for your son at 25 or 26, he's already past his prime. So understand, there's a window, and then the window narrows, and your child starts declining in value. So when a shatran calls you, and your son is 24 or 25, don't say, I'm moving at my own pace, or I'm not listening just yet, or I have a huge stack of resumes sitting on my desk that I still have to go through. Or listen to this one. You have to make me an offer that I can't refuse, as if you're in possession of the hope diamond. There's a famous axiom, the period from when I'm not listening yet to being desperate can be just a few days. And before you know it, your child may be past their prime and you are forced to settle. So start early, take it seriously, and give yourself the best chance to find the right shidduch for your child. Some Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva have even suggested that one possible way to address the shidduch crisis is by not sending our boys to learn in Eretz Yisrael at all, allowing them to enter the parsha at 21 or 22, instead of 24 or 25. Unfortunately, this is often the reality today. So by starting earlier, the age gap would be narrowed, and the chances of everyone finding their suitable match would improve significantly. Another powerful suggestion, which I find truly remarkable, is that any boy over the age of 24 should try not to date a girl younger than 22. So if you are a parent of a 24-year-old boy who just returned from Eretz Yisrael, and you have 40 resumes on your desk, start by looking into the girls who are 22 or older. This simple adjustment helps level the playing field, ensuring that older girls don't have to compete with the 19 and 20-year-old girls, giving them a fair and genuine chance at getting dates. While these ideas may sound a little radical to some, the reality is we may soon find ourselves with no other choice. And speaking of waiting too long to enter the parsha, I'd like to share with you an amazing idea I heard from my friend, the world-famous Askin, Rabbi Yonason Schwartz. During the time of the Harbin, there was a terrible famine. The Gemara Masechtas Gittin tells the story of Marta Bas Basis. She was one of the wealthiest women in Yerushalayim. One day, her pantry was empty, so she sent her servant out to the market, and she told him, "Go bring me fine flour." By the time he got to the market, the fine flour had already been sold out. He came back and he told her, "There's no fine flour, but there's regular flour." She said, "Okay, go get me regular flour." By the time he went back to the market, the regular flour was also gone. He returned home and he told her, "There's no regular flour, but there's coarse flour." She said, "Okay, then go and get me some coarse flour." Once again, by the time he arrived at the market, that too had been sold out. He came back and he told her, "There's only barley flour left." So she said, "Then go back to the market and bring me barley flour." By the time he got there, even that was gone. All the shelves were empty. Even the royo was sold out. Rabbi Yonason explained a powerful lesson from the story. This is exactly what happens when we hold out for the perfect shidduch. People get shidduchim and they say, "He's only an A. He's not for us." We're holding out for an A plus. A year goes by and they're ready to consider the A. And guess what? The shadchan tells them that A bacher is no longer available. But I have an A minus. And they say, "We're not willing to settle for an A minus." Another year passes by. They go back to the shadchan and they say, "Okay, we'll take the A minus." But now the A minus is also taken. So the shadchan tells them, "We have a B available for you." But they're not willing to consider a B. Time passes, the girl is 23. "Okay, we're ready to consider a B," they tell the shadchan. But that's no longer available either. So the shadchan tells them, "But I have a C available." But they tell the shadchan, "We will never entertain a C bacher." A few years go by, they call the shadchan. "Fine, we're ready to settle for a C." But guess what? Even that isn't around anymore. You get the idea. Just like Marta Bas Basis kept sending her servant back, only to discover that each time that option was already gone, so too in Shidduchim. Sometimes, while waiting for the perfect, we watch the good slip away. There's a famous saying, "Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good." Meaning, if you keep waiting for the perfect match, you may end up passing over the good and the solid and the wonderful matches. So remember, the market doesn't get easier with time. And that brings us to the end of part two. Today we learned that nobody is perfect. In Shidduchim, just like in life, we have to know what really matters and what we are willing to overlook. We have also seen that timing is crucial. Waiting too long can cause good opportunities to slip away. In part three, we will continue Me'etz Hashem with more lessons and practical strategies to avoid pitfalls, stay grounded, and help our children reach the chuppah with the right person at the right time. So stay tuned for part three. Oh, you're a bit of a pain. Oh, you're a bit of a pain.
מלכה הנה